Talking on all political subjects and taking on all callers, this is Matt Flynn Direct with your host, Matt Flynn. Sooner or later, gotta cut you down.
Go tell that long-tongued liar. Welcome to Matt Flynn Direct, coming to you statewide on Civic Radio. Madison, Waukesha, Wausau, Wisconsin Rapids, and pretty soon a lot of other places. Our lines are open, 844-967-2789. No subject is off limits, and all points of view are welcome. And remember, you're not woke if you don't know history. You're not woke unless and until you know history, going right to the front lines of history in the making. We've already gotten some text messages. What I'll do with those is when we come on the segment where we're discussing that subject, I will respond. Some good news just announced from the White House. Joe Biden will visit Milwaukee on Labor Day. Joe Biden will be here in Milwaukee on Labor Day at Labor Fest. Labor Fest is down at the Meyer Festival Park on the lake. I love the fests, all the fests. We have fests virtually every weekend from June till now. But Labor Fest is special. It's free, great food. There's a very, very good chance to hang with the people from Labor, show how much we appreciate them. Biden's also going to be in Pittsburgh on Labor Day. None of that is by accident. Pennsylvania and Wisconsin, along with Michigan, are the three big kahunas when it comes to purple states that went for Trump in 2016 and went for Biden in 2020. So Milwaukee and Pittsburgh, looking forward to seeing Joe in Milwaukee. And a couple of good things. You know, it was funny. I mean, people get into this mindset. So people in various TV stations would ask statewide candidates, are you going to appear with Joe Biden? Because some people wouldn't appear with Donald Trump back in 2020 because he was toxic. The truth is, Joe Biden is an excellent president. He's done a heck of a job. And more importantly, you want some data? I'll give you data. His approval ratings are up into the low 40s. And you may say, they had been in the mid 30s. And you would say, well, low 40s, how bad is that? Well, let me tell you something. It's better than most of the presidents in the last 10 years at this time in their presidency. Nobody becomes president and has everybody go, oh, I love the guy. 80% of us love the guy. The problems he has to deal with are seemingly insurmountable, and Biden has handled them very, very well. I'll tell you, the one poll that I saw that really gave me a lot of heart for the November elections, among people under 30, 18 to 30. Now, 18 to 30 would be a demographic that everybody would die for, you know, on TV and everything else, because these are people who then go on and throughout their lives, they remember the brand they went with. 18 to 30, he'd been underwater for a while. But 18 to 30 now, in July even, before the student loan legislation, he was slightly ahead, slightly above water. Now, something like 52% of people between the ages of 18 and 30 approve of Joe Biden. They like Joe Biden. And it's a very, very small, much smaller group, low 40s, high 30s, who were negative towards him. Now, that is very significant. The one thing you could point out would be, well, Matt, who votes between the ages of 18 and 30? Well, I'll tell you what. Some people do vote. There's a guy named Ed Foran that I knew in college was one of the people that pushed through the constitutional amendment to let 18-year-olds vote back in 1972. And, you know, Ed went around and people would say, well, you know, 18-year-olds don't vote. Well, some do. And as you get closer to 30, more do. And that is a significant demographic. So things are looking up for Joe Biden. The other thing is, if you take a look at his accomplishments, take a look at what he's done. He's only been in office since January 20, 2021. Okay, he's been in office, what, a year and a half maybe? Already, he passed the substantial COVID Relief Act right away. He passed hard infrastructure. He passed soft infrastructure. He passed student loan forgiveness. You can go on and on is what he's done. And people like it. People like somebody who does stuff. And that's what Joe Biden has done. Be in Milwaukee at the lakefront, the festival grounds on Labor Day to speak. And then he will also be in Pittsburgh that day. So those are two historically union towns, historically Democratic towns, and more importantly, historically major cities and states that any presidential candidate has to carry. There's one other state with a distinction that I've always loved. There was one state in the union who in the last 100 years, and this is good as of, I'd say 2020, or I should say earlier than that. So I don't know the Obama answer to this, but one state that every president who was elected president had to carry. If he didn't carry, he didn't become president. It's one state. And there was only one president who became president and didn't carry that state. And which state is that, and who is the president? The state is Ohio. Ohio, the state of presidents. If you don't carry Ohio, only one president in the 20th century was able to be elected, even though he didn't carry Ohio. And who was that president? John F. Kennedy. And he narrowly lost it. So it matters. This matters. Margins matter. Biden coming to Milwaukee and Pittsburgh on Labor Day matters. And he has a lot to boast about. And he's a fairly humble guy. He's not going to boast about anything, but he has a lot of accomplishment. He rebuilt NATO and the EU. Trump threatened to take us out of NATO. And it was a very thinly hid secret that if he'd gotten reelected, he would have taken us out of NATO. And if he'd done that, Russia would be in Estonia and Poland right now in the eastern part, quote, freeing the Russian speakers, end quote. Because the only other countries over there in NATO who have nuclear weapons are France and Britain, and they don't have many of them, and neither one of them would go to war. But the United States, Putin and the Ruskies are afraid, and rightly so. They were not afraid of Trump because they had funded Trump for 20 or more years. They had him in his pocket. They had a silver chain around him. I also think, quite frankly, they had him on blackmail. Video in the Moscow hotel room, the Coprophile video. People say, oh, well, Matt, that was disproved. No, that was not disproved. Well, no one came up with it. Yeah, right. No one came up with it. The Russians have it. Why do I say that? Because I don't think money alone is enough to cause a president of the United States to be as servile personally to Vladimir Putin as Donald Trump. Donald Trump showed fear in the presence of Putin, showed servility in the presence of Putin. Biden kicked all that over. Biden kicked all that over. He said that Putin was a murderer, had to be replaced, built up Ukraine, built up NATO, built up the EU. He's pushing for Sweden and Finland to come into NATO. And he built up a mini NATO in the Pacific, the so-called Five Eyes, EYES, the Five Eyes, US, Canada, UK, Australia, New Zealand, and then add to that Japan, South Korea, Vietnam, Philippines. So it's really more like 9 entities, and it's not called NATO, and there isn't the kind of treaty that NATO has. But that said, China gets the point. They're not going to make the South China Sea into a Chinese lake. Biden's done all this in what, 18 months? A little over 18 months, January of 2021, August 2022. I can't, except for Franklin Roosevelt, I can't think of a president in the last century who's done more in the first year and a half. Now, Franklin Roosevelt's in a league of his own, but I'll tell you what, Joe Biden has done a pretty darn good job. Now, I'm going to give you another piece of really good news, favorable information. One of the key races in the country right now, two of them actually, are in Pennsylvania. We have Fetterman, John Fetterman, going up against Mehmet Oz. Mehmet Oz, the TV doctor, who's a veteran, served in the Turkish army, but wouldn't serve in the American army. Votes in Turkey, doesn't vote in the United States because he has dual citizenship. Close to Erdogan, who is ethnic cleansing the Kurds. Some would say genociding the Kurds. And he can't possibly be permitted to get in the Senate. Well, Fetterman is standing up to him. But there's a governor race in Pennsylvania that's not as well known. Josh Shapiro is our guy against Doug Mastriano. Mastriano is a QAnon guy. He's a right-wing guy who says favorable things about QAnon. Was it the January 6th insurrection, even though he claims he didn't trespass? He also is the only state, Pennsylvania, that gets the governor appoints the Secretary of State. You don't get to vote for him. And he will appoint a Trump Secretary of State. In Pennsylvania, probably the jewel, the prize among all the purple states, the swing states, if Mastriano gets in, will not certify a Democrat who wins the presidency. Well, Josh Shapiro was just endorsed by 7 more Republican leaders, and Josh Shapiro is the Democratic Attorney General. And prior to that, 9 other Republican leaders had called Mastriano an extremist. And Mastriano's the guy, you remember, talked about it yesterday, dressed in a Confederate Army uniform for a picture, a formal picture, when he was on the faculty of the Army War College. Hey, Mastriano, word, you're wearing the uniform of an army that killed American soldiers. Word, why don't you wear a Nazi uniform? Why don't you wear a Viet Cong uniform? Why don't you wear a Chi-Com uniform or a NORC uniform? Why don't you wear an ISIS uniform? Mastriano, you're on the faculty of the Army War College. You should only wear American uniforms. Only Union Army uniforms. Anyway, people are tired of the guy. Very tired of this guy. And so when you have 9 Republicans calling Mastriano an extremist, and then you have 7 more that just endorse Josh Shapiro, I'll tell you what, things are looking good in Pennsylvania. Going to a break, lines are open, 844-967-2789. A lot more back after the break. Midnight Rider, tell the rambler, the gambler, the backbiter, tell him that God's gonna cut you down. Tell him that God's gonna cut you down. Welcome back to Matt Flynn Direct. Our lines are open, 844-967-2789. Well, there's a development in Ukraine. We haven't talked about Ukraine in several shows. The Ukrainians are magnificent. They have launched a counteroffensive, a major counteroffensive, to retake some of the Russian territory, I should say Ukrainian territory, that was captured by Russia. The Russians just appointed, as the head of the genocide in Ukraine, a guy named Alexander Dvornikov. You probably haven't heard of him, but if you have, you know that his nickname was the Butcher of Syria. He specializes in exterminating civilian populations, burning them, killing them, shooting them, and torturing them. And in Syria, he did that for the Ruskies. He did it for the Ruskies. Ruskies were allied with Iran, and they were allied with Assad, the sadistic president of Syria. And Iran is a Shiite country. Assad is an Alawite, but he's in line with the Shiites. They hate the Sunnis. The opposition to Assad is Sunni in Syria. Now remember, the Sunnis also are ISIS, and we are at war with them too. Very complicated situation over there. But Alexander Dvornikov is known as the Butcher of Syria. Now he is being titled the Butcher of Ukraine. Well, I think it's time, frankly, to kill Alexander Dvornikov, frankly, and Putin, and stop the genocide. And I'm going to make a couple of suggestions. Somebody called in, Chuckster Racine called in with a text, I should say. You know, when you call 844-967-2789, you can talk to the producer, and then I go on the air with me, or you can send a text, and I'll respond to it. Well, here are some ideas on Ukraine. We have given them 50-mile missiles, the HIMARS. These are the precision-controlled rockets. We have another missile, a HIMAR-type missile, that goes 300 miles. Why aren't we giving them to them? Give them to them. They can sit in Kyiv. They can sit in Western Ukraine and hit all of Ukraine. They can hit the Black Sea. Russian ships sit like spiders out in the Black Sea trying to choke off Ukraine. And I know that everybody's concerned, what if they hit Russian territory? Well, you got to understand something. The Ruskies are bombing civilian areas in Ukraine, hospitals, kindergartens, churches, apartment complexes, and nobody's doing that to them and their civilians. Now, I'm not advocating hitting Moscow. We don't want to start something bigger. However, Moscow is more than 300 miles from Ukraine, but the word goes out. If you shell on Russian territory, you're getting wiped out. You're getting wiped out. The second thing is give them the planes. Give them the F-16s, not the F-35s. Those are our most advanced planes, but the F-16s. There should have been a no-fly zone over Ukraine back in January. France and Germany knifed that in the back. So did the Republican Party in this country try to knife Biden in the back. He was very skillful. He put together a coalition to save Ukraine. Time to give them F-16s. Train them in Europe. Train them in the United States. They will impose their own no-fly zone. The third, kill the butcher of Syria, Alexander Dvornikov. The CIA knows exactly the coordinates, the position coordinates of every individual in that government all the time. They know where Putin is. They know where Alexander Dvornikov is. They know where the sadistic Islamic terrorist from Chechnya, who's there just going through and raping Ukrainian women, is. Share those coordinates with the Ukrainians. Share those coordinates with the Ukrainians. And at some point, Alexander Dvornikov walks out and yawns, and he gets a HIMAR where the sun don't shine. Iran has just sent two plane loads of drones. Iran, because they're aligned with Russia. You know, here's the thing about Iran. They say they're interested in talks on nuclear. They're not interested in talks on nuclear. They go ahead and do it. There's nothing an Iranian has said in 50 years that's true. Fraud is in their nature, and it's in the nature, it's in their DNA and their cultural DNA. The only thing they understand is force. And we fortunately have the Navy all around that country. And I'll tell you what. We have the Navy coming up through the Indian Ocean and the Navy right off the southern coast of Iran. And that's what they understand. They should not be sending any plane loads of drones to Ukraine. That should be bombed. Bomb on the ground before they take off. Let them know, you know, a country doesn't get to go in the street every day and go, death to the United States, death to Israel, death to Europe, and get away with it. And get, you know, we're treating them kind of paternalistically. Well, that's how people like that act. Well, they need their attitude adjusted quite quickly. Chuckster of Racine sent in a text and he said, is our objective in Ukraine, in addition to supplying weapons to weaken the Russians, as a testing ground to see how our weapons work? And Chuckster, here is the deal. Our involvement in Ukraine is moral. We're not going to stand by and watch a genocide. This is a genocide. People are all mealy-mouthed on the media, and they go, oh, well, there appears to be evidence of a war crime. It's a genocide. That is what is going on. Stop it. The second thing is that we are giving them all the weapons we can and still keep our NATO alliance together. I think we should give them more. I think we should give them 300-mile missiles and F-16s. But the third thing is our objective that it's a testing ground for how effective our missiles are against the Ruskies. That's not the objective, but that is one of the developments. And everybody in Europe knows now this vast Russian army is a joke. They've been a joke their entire lives. The only thing they ever had to stop invasions was a cold winter. Going to a break. The lines are open, 844-967-2789. A lot more back after the break. Matt Flynn, director. Lines are open, 844-967-2789. Well, the federal judge in Florida is up to her old tricks, this Eileen Mercedes Cannon. She was born in Cali, Colombia, an authoritarian right-wing culture she came out of. American citizen now, somehow became a federal judge. She's the one, you can recall, where another federal judge, Judge Reinhart, had signed a search warrant. Normally, if you have any issues about that search warrant, you ask the federal judge who signed the search warrant. I mean, that's who has jurisdiction over it. What the Trump tricksters did, and we've talked a lot about how people are using the Republican Party, are using the appearance, semblance of law to strip us of our democracy, just like Germany in Berlin in the 30s, the 1930s. They start another lawsuit to get another judge. You can't get another judge just by asking for it in the federal system. You can in Wisconsin. Wisconsin's one of the few states in the country. And it goes back to the Fighting Bob La Follette legacy, where if you file a case, somebody files a case against you, and you see who it's assigned to, you have a couple of days to say, I don't want him or her, get me another one, and then they put you back into the rotation, and you get another judge. That's not true in federal court anywhere. So down there, the way they got around that was file another lawsuit. Now, any judge who knew the law, or more importantly, cared about the law in the United States, would have said, well, wait a minute, they're just trying to get around Judge Reinhart. He's the one that knows this case better than I do, and I am going to transfer it to him. No, Eileen Mercedes Cannon was appointed by Trump. She is a Trumpster. He has salted the federal judiciary with Trumpsters, including the U.S. Supreme Court. And she said she may appoint a special master. Now, what? You're going to appoint a special master to look at documents that have the names of undercover spies in Russia and China and Iran? Are you? Are you? Who doesn't have a security clearance? Then she said, I may even tell the Department of Justice to stop reviewing the documents because they may be Trump's property. Oh, really? Oh, really? The culture she comes out of is the culture of subservience to the strongman. She might as well have said, the strongman said he owns these documents, so I've got to take a look at them, get them all back, tell the Department of Justice to give them back to me, and then I will, quote, review them, end quote, wink, wink, and maybe return them to the strongman. This is the kind of thing that's going on. Now, the Department of Justice beat her to it. They just announced yesterday they've completed their review. And the ostensible reason that she's using and others is, well, maybe this personal stuff of Trump in there. So we got to go through it all to make sure there isn't personal stuff or attorney-client related stuff. But by the way, we'll be looking at all the identities of the spies in Russia, China, and Iran. Well, the Department of Justice has a procedure for that. Here's the procedure, and it's a good procedure. When you execute a search warrant, you go in and it says you can take boxes in this area and that area. So you take the boxes. Well, if Trump intermingled personal stuff in there, you give it back to him. So he had stuck some passports in one of them. They gave them back to him. But what if mixed in with it, there are some attorney-client documents? In other words, let's say he's being sued for rape by Jean Carroll in New York, where she says in the complaint that he went into a dressing room at Berghoff Goodman in a remote area and he raped her. Well, there's correspondence with his lawyer in that one. That's no one's business. And the fact that he stuck it in with a lot of other stuff, including magazine articles and lists of spies in Russia. What happens is the DOJ has a separate group of lawyers, believe it or not, who are not part of the overall investigation, who go through it for that kind of thing. Then they take it out. They do not show it to the people that are investigating it, and they return it to them. And the DOJ has done that. And any documents, and there were very few, would relate to things other than espionage, treason, and why they went in, will be returned to them. As they put it, they said there's a limited set of materials that potentially contain attorney-client info. They don't even say it did contain attorney-client info. And it will, they say, which we will handle according to existing procedures. That's exactly right. You don't throw out the baby with the bathwater. You don't go, okay, let me give the list of spies back to Mercedes Cannon, whose mindset culturally is an authoritarian regime in Colombia, to have her, what, look at it or appoint, what, one of her former law clerks who has no, absolutely no classified authority to look at this, and perhaps return them to Trump. And he'll say, oh, I'll keep them, all right. Remember something. During that search, when the FBI went in, Trump initially lied in January and said, here are the boxes, and he gave 15 boxes. And there was some secret stuff in there. But a lot of it was ripped up. A lot of it was shredded. A lot of it were magazine articles and all that, all lumped together, not foldered. Well, the National Archives said, we know that that's not everything. He's not telling the truth. So they went back in. A grand jury finally convened to subpoena the documents from him. And they go back in June, and the head of intelligence at the DOJ, Brott, goes down there, and Trump comes in and says, whatever you want, goes out, and his lawyer, this is very serious for her, signs a written statement saying we've turned over everything. But they knew that wasn't true. So they subpoenaed surveillance video of the whole shebang. And looking at the surveillance video, they realized after that meeting, Trump had people go down into that storeroom near the pool area and take boxes out of it and take documents out of those boxes and put them in other boxes and take them away, and they don't know where they are. The Washington Post just reported last night they've interviewed 14 people with the National Archives, senior people, and every one of them has said there are more documents in Trump's possession that didn't even come up in the FBI search. And we are very concerned that he may have transferred them to his golf course in New Jersey, Bedminster, to his apartments in New York, or given them to conceivably foreign agents. What, for money? I do not know. Why did he lie in January and say, here's everything? Then he had his lawyer lie again in June and sign a document say, here's everything. And then there's surveillance video where he ordered people to go back into that storeroom, take documents out and put it in other boxes and take it away. Why is he holding on to it like that? Is he loyal to the United States? I don't think he is. Who wants to see those documents? Don't you think that spy agencies all over the world have known now, at least since January and probably before? It's been in the media that he took secret, top secret documents to Mar-a-Lago. Don't you think that they've had agents down there going through this? What agents? Anybody who puts on a jacket that says staff. There are thousands of guests through the, he rents hotel rooms there. Some of these documents that the FBI did find was in, quote, the basement area, the floor of his closet, and a dressing room in the bridal suite over the ballroom that's rented out. a dressing room in the bride. I mean, I can just, you know, the bride is there. She turns to her maid of honor and she goes, Cindy, zip me up. And Cindy says, what's that on the floor? Ooh, wow. Wow. Awesome. This says, here are the spies in Moscow. Wow. That is completely awesome. Completely awesome. Let's just stick it in a drawer and say, we didn't see it, but we're going to tell all the bridesmaids and they're going to tell all the groomsmen. Boy, that's terrific. And you think I'm kidding, by the way? You think I'm kidding? There was a woman, a Russian spy that just got in there, who said that she was Anna de Rothschild. Anna de Rothschild, and she's photographed with Trump. She's photographed at dinner with his family. Chinese, a woman who's a Chinese spy got in last year. You know, when spies go in, they don't have a big raincoat that goes, I'm a spy. It could be a woman who goes in smiling, buttering up people, taking a tour of the place. These are lists of foreign agents. These people will be killed when their identity is disclosed. If what they say is disclosed, even if their identity is not, they can easily reverse engineer their identity from that. Only a handful of people know the stuff that they will have been telling us. This is what's going on. There are nuclear secrets. Here, this is a chilling thing. And Jesse Waters, now Jesse Waters on Fox, by the way, the kill shot on Jesse Waters is treason. The kill shot on Tucker Carlson is treason. At long last, if Jesse Waters and Tucker Carlson said what they said in 1943 about the Nazis, they would have been executed. The kill shot against Jesse Waters is treason. However, he had a guy named Ronald Kessler on who wrote a book. This guy is a master of intelligence and politics and the interface. And Waters somehow thought, I think, that he was a captive audience of some sort. And here's what Kessler said. And then Waters cut him off. That's why the treason issue. Kessler says, it could very well be that these documents in Mar-a-Lago included plans for counterstriking against Russia in the event of nuclear war. Russia very possibly recruited spies already to get these documents. Waters smirked and said, so you're saying that they could be there, but we have no idea if they're there. And the FBI shouldn't have gone in to look. This is Waters. You know, you are seeing treason on the hoof when you watch him on television, which you shouldn't. I do not watch him or Tucker Carlson, but occasionally what they do crops up online, and that's where that came from. Cuts the guy off. Said, A, the FBI shouldn't have gone in the first place. B, yeah, it could be there's nuclear documents about what we're going to do in a counterstrike. And it could be, if Russian intelligence has a brain in its head, that they've had staff a long time. They just sent Anna de Rothschild in to suck up to Trump and prowl around. Except there is no Anna de Rothschild. That's not her name. She's a Russian spy. You know, I'm surprised the Chinese woman last year didn't say she was Madam Chiang Kai-shek. I mean, Trump loves prestige. Trump knows no history, and he doesn't give a rat's patoot about the United States. So what is this judge, this Eileen Mercedes Cannon, going to do down in Florida? The hearing is Thursday. DOJ has put in a petition to file a much lengthier brief. She wants a blow-by-blow description of every document they took, even redacted documents. And she's going to keep demanding more information. The thing that kills me, our party is so passive-aggressive, and a lot of independent media are passive-aggressive. They chirp in squeaky voices, and they go, well, the judge will tell us what we have to do. No, no. There's nothing in the Constitution that says a federal judge can overturn anything. That has been developed by federal judges over 200 years. There is a doctrine that the military will not enjoin, will not get involved in military decisions. What do you think would have happened if the U.S. Supreme Court had ruled that the South had a right to secede? You know what Abraham Lincoln would have done? He would have arrested him and put him in prison. That's what he would have done. And if the Supreme Court said that we have no right to give arms to Ukraine, Biden should do the same thing. And frankly, if a judge down in Florida says there's a requirement that we turn over a list of spies to this judge, she should go to prison too, immediately. Going to a break. Lines are open, 844-967-2789. A lot more back after the break. Back to Matt Flynn, director. Lines are open, 844-967-2789. We're going right to the lines. Do not hang up. Take you in order. First is Joe of Madison, my friend. Thanks for calling. What's in your mind, Joe?
Thank you for just a really fascinating show, as always, but I was particularly interested in the article that you had referenced from the Washington Post that occurred last night, stating that the archivists, interviews with archivists state that there are actual documents that are completely gone, that they don't know where they are. They have not shown up, which would suggest that this ramps up into a higher velocity problem, I would think, because, I mean, it's one thing if these documents, we can guess they may have been copied, but to have them completely gone takes it in a different place. And I'm interested in your reaction as a lawyer when you look at this. Lindsey Graham, also another lawyer, has been describing this situation that Trump, quote, mishandled classified documents. And I am curious how you would look at this as a lawyer. Does the fact that these documents are gone suggest that the proper term is not mishandled, but stolen? And I'd be interested to hear your reaction to Graham's choice of words and where we are now. Thanks a lot, Matt. I appreciate it.
Thank you, Joe. No, that's a terrific question. You know, people use euphemisms to say that in January, Trump lied and said everything had been turned over. In June, he lied and said turned everything over. There's a search warrant in August 8th. And there's stuff missing, which is quite clear right now. And some of this stuff is top secret. And it says human intelligence, which means that either CIA agents who are implanted in other countries or actual native spies are at risk of their lives. To say that's mishandling, that's like saying a guy goes in and murders somebody just in cold blood, hits him with an axe, and says that he used excessive force and he was overly emotional. No one falls for that. Lindsey Graham is a pathetic individual. This is the guy who was pro-John McCain and anti-Trump. Then he was anti-McCain, pro-Trump. Then he's been anti and pro and anti and pro. I believe nothing that he says. But no, it doesn't even take a lawyer, Joe. When somebody has top secret materials that are a violation of the Espionage Act and violation of two other laws and is untruthful twice about having turned it over, and then we have surveillance video showing that it was pulled out of boxes, put in other boxes, and disappeared. We have a right to know what foreign power. There's only one possible explanation. It's only of interest to foreign powers. And we're not talking NATO powers here. We're talking our adversaries. It is treason. It is treason. And quite frankly, Lindsey Graham is complicit in treason. He has worked to undermine our democracy. Thanks for calling, Joe. Gene of Eau Claire, my friend. Thanks for calling. What's your mind today, Gene?
Good morning, Matt. Great show as usual. Just when you think it's safe to, that somebody's paying attention to this or doing something about this rare, I don't know what kind of president you call him, and anybody that's associated with him that keep covering up his actions and the people who have the responsibility to keep our country safe, those, I'm going to call them, fake representatives, fake senators. Those people know god darn well. A lot of them are older. They know that this is very, very bad and wrong. And when they keep up making up excuses, they're accessories after the fact or with the fact. And same with Johnson. These people shouldn't even be allowed in the Capitol. These people shouldn't be allowed near any documents. They shouldn't be allowed picking judiciary. What in the world is going on here? This is unbelievable. I mean, come on. We know better than this. And then when people make excuses for Trump. Oh, he accidentally took it. Yeah, right, my butt. Well, then if he accidentally took it, why aren't you guys going after him and telling him to get the stuff back and looking for every piece of information that that guy took? It's so unbelievable, Matt. It's like watching, I don't know, some bizarre false reality on TV. I have never seen anything like this. It is it's unbelievable, and it is wrong. And that judge should keep her nose in her own business, and she shouldn't even be sitting on that bench. What in the devil kind of judge is that woman sitting down there? That's pretty scary stuff. So anyway, actually, Matt, I didn't mean to go on and on. Thank you so much for taking my call.
Thank you, Jean. No, I love your passion as always, but I also love the substance of what you said. Let me be blunt. Let me put it to you this way. The President of the United States has a lot of power under our Constitution, executive authority and otherwise, but there's a core assumption that the president will at least be honest. Well, at least be rooting for the United States. That's the core assumption. Donald Trump, it didn't anticipate a guy like Donald Trump, who he was president until noon on January 20th, 2021. There's this lame duck period, November, December, and January. And we saw lame duck here with the governor. You saw the lame duck legislation passed by Walker's people. The Republican Party leadership is no longer honest. They're no longer rooting for the United States. So you had a guy in office, Trump, November, December, January, falsely saying he won and engineering a coup. And then as he left, he went through and he took huge numbers of boxes. And, you know, they obey the president, even 10 in the morning, 11 in the morning on January 20. He goes, carry these to Air Force One. It's still Air Force One till noon. And then Biden is on Air Force One and Trump flies his own plane or flies commercial. They fly to Mar-a-Lago. They get out, put him in this, what, an unlocked storeroom near the pool area? Lists of our agents in other countries and their information. Nuclear secrets. What we would do in response to a Russian strike. And it's what, lying there? Guy goes in. Get some towels. How do we know who he is? Guests all over the place. And then he had it from January of 21 till January of 22, a year. And during that time period, there were negotiations, but because he's a former president, you at least assume it was a mistake, whatever. No, it wasn't a mistake. And he lies, and he turns over 15 boxes in January of 22, and he goes, that's it. They look at it and they say, no, that isn't it. And they go back in June. They sign a statement. That's it. No, that isn't it. They go into the search warrant and they get a lot of stuff, but not everything. And it's still there. It is still there. It is still there unless he's transferred it. He probably has transferred it because it's not there. The FBI didn't find it. He had some stuff on the dressing room floor of the bridal suite over the ballroom and the floor of his closet. Did he make copies? What foreign power did he give it to? Who's he going to sell it to? He's not for the United States. There's no other president in history, whatever you may think of him, who thought that you wouldn't say, well, at least he's rooting for the United States. This guy is not rooting for the United States. There's a hatred there, and there's treason there is what it is. And I think we have to understand that, and he can never be permitted to get back in power. We're going to a break. The lines are open, 844-967-2789. Do not hang up. I'll get back to you right after.